Good afternoon, Juno, and welcome to Juno Afternoon. This is your host, Christina Michelle Patterson, and this episode is a collaboration of the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. Today, we have our guests joining us via Zoom from different parts of the United States for a discussion on the Black experience in the U.S. Coming to us first, I'm going to ask Ms. Sherry Patterson, the president of the Black Awareness Association, to please introduce herself, and then we will get an introduction from the rest of our guests.
Thank you, Christina, and thank you again for moderating our show. We appreciate your expertise, and I am Sherry Patterson, president of the Black Awareness Association here in Juneau, and to our Juneau community, thank you for listening in again. And I think that we have a great show for you today. We'll be speaking with some family, friends, professionals from throughout the United States. And it promises to be quite insightful and, I believe, inspiring. So put on your ears and listen up. I believe it's going to be a great show today. Thank you so much, Christina.
Thank you. And next, Mr. Johnson, would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello. Thank you, Christina. My name is Keith Johnson. I am a retired U.S. Coast Guard, warrant officer, was stationed in Juneau, Alaska some years ago. I currently reside in Stafford, Virginia, and that's the Northern Virginia area. And just happy to be here and looking forward to the program.
Thank you. Mrs. Johnson?
Good afternoon, Christina, Sherry, and hello, Juno. A familiar place to me. This is Chiquetta B. Johnson. Lived in Juno with Keith Johnson for almost 9 years in the early 70s until the early 2000s. Looking forward to a great afternoon. I am now in Juneau. I was a professional thespian, worked with Perseverance Theater, among some other things. And so I am looking forward to this discussion this afternoon and just kind of diving deep in what it's like to be Black in America. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. And next we will hear from Dr. Ham.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And I'm just so excited to be able to be in Alaska right now. I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia, originally from Montgomery, Alabama. I am a U.S. Army veteran for over 20 years. I'm also the senior pastor of Empower Life Church in Atlanta, and I am the presiding apostle over Apostolic Global Network, which is a network of pastors around the world connecting for global impact. And I'm excited to be able to be on this distinguished panel today to discuss the issues.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ham. And Mr. Brown. And we'll just ask you to unmute. There we
All
go.
Right, Thank we you. Are. Hello, Juno. My name is Tyrell Brown. I'm pastor of Shining Light Ministries, located here in Leesville, Louisiana. I'm also the chancellor for Life Bible Institute, which is a wing of the Apostolic Global Network. We bring life to a dying world. Thank you for inviting me to this panel. And I tell you the truth that I'm excited about what's going on in Juno. Ms. Christie, thank you for taking the sword and running with it, and everybody here. I'm here to learn. I'm here to share and my experience, and I know it's going to be a great opportunity. Thanks.
Thank you. And we also have Miss Kelly Patterson, who's going to be in and out of the discussion. You may hear her at some point, but I'll give her an opportunity to introduce herself real quick here.
Good morning, Juno. My name is Kelly Patterson, and I will be co-moderating today with Christina Patterson. We are excited and pleased to bring you these wonderful and intelligent African-American Black men and women. We look forward to the opportunity to take a glimpse of what life is like in the rest of the United States, and we thank them for participating. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Juno, just to give you a little bit of history on how this particular topic came to be this week, when we were discussing what has been happening around the country with all of the Black Lives Matter movement, and just the things, especially with the recent developments with the Breonna Taylor case, we had a thought, what if we asked what was going on and how people were experiencing being Black in other countries? We wanted to take a look at, you know, maybe broaden that discussion and see what was going on outside of, you know, our world immediately here in Juneau and in the U.S. And as great of an idea as that was, we were not really able to pull that together within a week with different time zones and things like that. But our president, Mrs. Patterson, had an idea of what if we bring that conversation just to African Americans all over our country. And so that's why we are here today. We are excited to do this and to hear from just some different voices outside of Juneau and outside of, you know, what we normally might be talking about today. And so we're honored to have our guests, our panelists here today. So I'm just going to jump in here to the conversation, and please, as I ask questions, if this is a question that resonates with you, then feel free to just unmute yourself and chime right in. And as you do, if you would just state your name again as you speak so that our audience knows who they're listening to. So as we're experiencing different life events in the last year, such as COVID-19, the death of George Floyd, hurricanes in the South, the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement, fires on the West Coast, and the Breonna Taylor injustice, how are you feeling or coping with being Black in 2020? I know that's a loaded question, so whoever goes first is brave.
Well, I'll go first because, okay. You know, for me, with all the things that's happening, I'm really, really happy that I'm saved, right? So I can tell you that my name is Tyrell Brown, but I can trace my father's and my father's father's back, 12 generations. And so being rooted and grounded in family and all the things that have gone on in my life, I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, right? And one of the historical events that shaped my thinking were the impact of racial divide is one of my father's first cousins was lynched on the 4th of July as part of the celebration in Laurel, Alabama. On my father's side, celebrating the 4th of July is just not something that they do. You know, big family reunion happens, but with that, you know, my great-great-grandfather was a white man. And in that same small segment of Alabama, because they knew him, my family was sort of protected, right? So all the hell that they've gone through and all the hell that we've gone through, I remember the Sunday that where they bombed the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there, but the church that I was in Sunday school as a child, we heard the explosion, right? But between that church and my church was a steel mill. And it was not uncommon for an explosion to go off inside of the steel mill, so that's what we thought happened.
Okay.
But in that, seeing the community, you know, just galvanize together and take care of each other, going through now all the things that are happening, my foundation is love. It's to get with the family, it's to get with friends, it's to get with those that are closest, and to draw my strength from that. You know, I'm saved, as I said a moment ago, so understanding that there's nothing new under the sun that we have to deal with. Black Lives Matter, the injustice for the police officers or whatever, or even black-on-black crime, black-on-white crime, white-on-white crime, all the stuff that we're dealing with today, I tell you that to be rooted and grounded in my faith and in family and friends and church, I'm okay, you know. I'm okay.
Okay, I guess I'll chime in. My name is Dr. Ronald Hammond from Atlanta. And, you know, as I see what is going on in our world, of course, I've been around the world looking at different cultures. And one thing that I've noticed is that that divide, that racism exists all over the world. It's not unique to the United States. But one thing that I've learned with COVID-19 and the fires that are going on is that those events do not discriminate. There are white people, black people, Hispanics losing their homes from the fire or from the hurricanes. There are people dying from COVID-19. It's not discriminating. I know a billionaire friend of mine in Florida who passed away from COVID-19. So it does not discriminate. But it gives us an awareness that we are living in a world, of course, that's not perfect. That is not an excuse for us to feel as if though we're better than someone else. And so growing up in America, we still live in the best country. I'm telling you, I've been around, I've been throughout different countries in Africa, and we still live in the best country. But we all should be striving to make it better. And so that's what I'm committed to do. And that's why conversations like this conversation is needed, because I think that the main problem is education. Now, we sometimes use that as an excuse, but yes, people don't want to learn about other cultures. I grew up in Montgomery, Alabama. The only two denominations was Baptist and AME. Those were the only two churches I knew, and we had some holiness people live behind us that stayed in church all day. That's so when I went into the military, I met a black Catholic, and I did not believe he was a Catholic. I said, there's no way that you're a Catholic. And so God expanded my capacity to believe that there are others and other things outside of my own experience. And then when I learn about those experiences, then that's when we begin to live in harmony. But hatred is so rampant in our societies all over the world. Hatred throughout history, there have been people that have enslaved each other, and that's not how God intended. God so loved the world, he sent his son. Now, he didn't say he so loved a country or he so loved the church. He says that he so loved the world that he sent his son. And even if they don't believe in him, he still came here for them. And so I'm committed to spread that word, because watch this, Psalms 133, it says how good and pleasant it is brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yes.
This is the place of commanded blessings. If we're going to be blessed, then we have to be create an atmosphere of unity. Thank you.
Miss D, if you would unmute yourself, please.
Okay. I'd like to chime in on this conversation. I agree with everything you gentlemen have said. This is Chiquetta D. Johnson, lived in Alaska, now live in the hot spot of the world. We do live in the local DMV area, but we live in Stafford, about 34 miles away. But I'd just like to talk about, you talked about how are you feeling when some of these things, you know, took place. The Breonna Taylor result was devastating to me. I'm a believer, I'm a leader in my church. I've been many things in many places, very much a multicultural kind of a person, but that case just really knocked me off my feet. It's like I was almost speechless. It made me cry. I wondered to myself, it's like, what is my value? You know, as an African American here in this country, what is my value that to me, or something would happen to my children or my husband or anybody in my family, and it just goes dismissed, you know, dismissed. Yeah. I was so disappointed in the findings, how the court ruled in the case, and I just didn't know what to think. And, you know, I had to catch myself, because I had a conversation with a friend who talked about, you know, feeling that deep, deep anger. It's like I just wanted to do something. And I mean, a person of my age, generally you think, well, that's kind of juvenile to want to go do something. What did you want to go do? But what I decided to do was I decided to open up my Bible, and I decided to you know, familiarize myself once that, you know, that the Lord is no respecter of persons. You know what I'm saying? I just came right to the conclusion that God knows all. None of this was a surprise to him.
Yes.
He knew how this was going to turn out. And I thought to myself, it's my job to find myself in this situation and try to bring some peace and some understanding. Don't be a part of the negative conversation. Be a part of the positive conversation where we come together. And I do believe that we as Christian brothers and sisters, we gotta stand up. We do. We have to stand up. We have to stand up. We have to make ourselves known. We have to make our positions known. And we have to speak truth. We have to speak truth. We have to speak truth, and we have to speak it into the darkness, you know, that we are traveling in. And I just believe that as something that I bought into at the beginning of this year was, this was a year of being on your knees. This was a year where prayer was going to be significant. And you know what? I believe it, because I know for a fact through my experience that prayer changes things. And that's my take on all of it. Prayer changes things. Real, fervent prayer.
Yes.
May I make a comment, Christian?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So thank you for that. And one thing that I can say is that what we're experiencing, I believe, is causing people of my generation, right, to begin to feel some things that we buried inside. Because when we were young, right, you really couldn't talk about it. You know, you could, you know, there was a line. You
That's
could do
right.
things at home, but there was a line. And so we were trained to bury all that inside. And so seeing what's going on today and experiencing it today brings up deep-rooted, sometimes buried so deep that you didn't even know it was still there, anger, pain, depression, or whatever it is. And so it's important now to begin to get it out. Being on your knees is important. Conversations like this, very important. And for my generation to be able to share with your generation, because I tell you the truth, what we experienced when we were young, you're experiencing today. The racism didn't go away, the violence didn't go away, and all the tactics of the enemy have. But our conversation will help, I believe, will help you and the next generation to go through some of this with more wisdom, right? And that's my conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for that. And to our listeners, I know you can't see, we're all on Zoom, and so we can see each other. And there was just a collective head nod to everything that Mr. Brown just said there. So we are definitely in agreement. If you're just tuning in, this is host Christina Michelle, and our guests today are joining us from all over the United States to talk, well, a few regions of the United States to talk about the Black experience in the U.S. The next question that I would love to get some feedback on is, do you think that Dr. King's peaceful approach to establishing racial equality is still relevant today?
Christina, this is Keith Johnson. I do think that Dr. King's approach is relevant today. I think the nonviolent movement is still something that we as people need, as Black people, I should say, need. I think for people to understand what that movement meant was for them to have shut down the transportation in Montgomery and to be able to come together collectively to get people to work, get people to schools, all the different places that they had to be. And to use the Black churches as meeting places to put all that together. In the same way, we can also use that power we have so much money now coming into this country that African Americans are generating. We could use it in many ways to affect change and to be able to let people know the power that we have as Black people. And that we are still a nonviolent people.
I want to chime in on that. This is Dr. Ham again from Atlanta. And I totally agree with Keith. Peace is the best way, according to scripture. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, throughout history, the enslaving of people always had and even the slaves here in the United States was for economics, free labor. And so when we learn how to take our finances, we have leverage through our wealth. And what the plan has been over the past few decades is to take the wealth or to block the wealth from the African-American families. You know, Black Wall Street in Tulsa was an example that wealth, after they passed on through generations. And there has been a mentality in the Black community, you know, that we got to struggle for about everything, and we're not leaving an inheritance to our family members. And so my desire is to leave an inheritance to my children's children. So I'm setting up my grandchildren. You know, other communities use insurance and use different avenues to be able to pass wealth on to their family members. And so I think education, to be able to educate our people and all people, because I don't like the separation, but we do have to understand that it's there. And so we have to get our people on a financial structure and a status where we can use our leverage to change some things. That's what happened in Montgomery with the bus boycott. They need the money. But when we said, no, we're not going to do it, when the NBA players say we're not going, Kaepernick, my son is a former NFL football player, was there with Colin Kaepernick there in San Francisco when he took a knee, and I'm not being political, but when he took a knee, he took a stand. The best time sometime, and my sister just said it, is to take a stand is to take a knee. And so I'm just excited. I'm telling you, I'm so excited just to be a part of this panel. I'm getting excited even more. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hamm. We are just as excited to have you. And again, to our audience, there is just collective head nods and high fives, long distance virtual high fiving each other on everything that Dr. Hamm just said. This is a wonderful conversation. I am so happy that you guys are joining us on the radio and that our panel is here. We're just going to take a quick commercial break and we will come right back. Thank you.